He left the throne of heaven to come to Bethlehem, and I would not forget the way He loved me even then. And everywhere He traveled, He spoke with words of love that said He'd go to any distance to show what I was worthy of. And when at last the dusty road turned to Calvary, He picked up a rugged burden so that one day I would see He loved me with a cross. He loved me with a cross in answer to the call of love. He loved me with a cross. Though I could not imagine what loving me would cost, Jesus went to Calvary and He loved me with a cross.
He knew from the beginning the price He'd have to pay, for my heart had gone so far beyond what other loves forgave. I wasn't on that hillside to see Him on the tree, but as my guilt was placed upon Him, I know that somehow He saw me. He loved me with a cross. He loved me with a cross in answer to the call of love. He loved me with a cross, though I could not imagine what loving me would cost. Jesus went to Calvary and He loved me with a cross,
and I would be a sinner still, enslaved by all my sin, if it had not been for Jesus and the way He loved me then. He loved me with a cross. He loved me with a cross in answer to the call of love. He loved
Take your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Psalms, please. The book of Psalms this morning. We're going to read Psalm 133 this morning. We're going to read all the verses. There are only three. Psalm 133 this morning. As you're finding your place, or if you've already found it, would you please stand to your feet? If you're able this morning, we understand if you have to remain seated. But those of us that are able, in honor of the Word of God, if you would stand to your feet as we read the Word of God this morning. Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this wonderful psalm. God, how precious, how wonderful it is, how exciting it is. So much in it. But Lord, you know what we as individuals need from the preaching of the Word of God from this passage today. And that's different for all of us. I'm aware of that. So God, meet our need today, please. Help us through the preaching. Help our pastor as he comes and preaches, anointing with thy Holy Spirit power. And Father, if there's somebody that needs to accept Jesus Christ today and trust him for their salvation, whether online or right here in this room, God, work on those hearts. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, I want you to take a look a moment. Would you see that little camera right over there? And there's one over here on this wall. Those are actually lasers. If your cell phone goes off in the service, those men up there in the bell tower will zap you right in the head. So turn it off, would you please? Give us all a break and respite, and we would appreciate that. You need one too, don't you? Blessings. Verse 3, there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. There, the Lord commanded the blessing. Notice it did not say a blessing. It said the blessing. That's specific. You know what blessing means in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament? It means to come before a sovereign, a king, a ruler. You bow your knee and he bestows upon you some favor, some reward, some honor, some gift. Blessings are mentioned 360 times in the Bible. In the Jewish calendar, that's one blessing for every day of the year. I believe God has a blessing for us every day of our lives. Oh, you've already been blessed this morning. But this thing about God's blessings in our lives, we hear much about it in some respects, and I'm not here to correct anything this morning. I just want us to understand that from this little simple psalm, would you notice that blessings do come from God? The Lord commandeth the blessings. They come from him. So yeah, Pastor Boy, every good thing ever happened to me, that was a blessing. No, you're a little short-sighted on what a blessing is. Blessings are not always something good to us. They're good to the one who gives them. They're favor bestowed upon the one who gives the blessing. The blessing isn't so much of what you receive. The blessing is the one who gives the blessing. Yeah, sometimes we're blessed with something sweet and wonderful, and sometimes we're blessed with something difficult. Those are blessings too, you know. There the Lord commanded. Blessings come from God. Blessings have a place. Did you notice it says right there? There the Lord commanded blessings, even the blessing, even life forevermore. There's a place God has for us where he wants to bless us. Since the idea of a blessing is to kneel before a sovereign, that shows submission. That shows a willingness to submit to the one. That shows a humbleness. That shows a willingness of obedience, a readiness to receive. Now, blessings are in that kind of a place of a yieldedness to the Lord and obedience to Him as our Lord and Master. A willingness to accept from the hand of our God whatever it is that He is going to bestow upon us. Please get your idea of a blessing a little off the materialistic and short-sighted, only think something good is a blessing to me. See, sometimes a person would kneel before the king and he would give him an order to go and undertake a battle. But that was a blessing to get the order from the king to go take a battle for him. Sometimes He blesses us and sends us into a battle. Sometimes He blesses us and bestows some favor or honor upon us. Whatever the case may be, you kneel before the king, and whatever He is going to bless you with, that's a blessing from Him to you. Whether it's to send you on a conquest, to send you on a battle, to send you out to be blessed, to receive something good or kind. But that's the place you want to be, there. That place of submission and yieldedness and obedience to the king. Notice also these blessings. Would you notice the blessing? It is something that lasts. There He commanded the blessing. It says in verse 3, even life forevermore. Some of God's blessings have a time limit on them. Most of them are going to last you, the Bible says here, even into the next life. Have you been blessed with salvation? But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name. That's not only for here, that's in the next life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The blessing of salvation is for this life and the next life, both sides. That's just the blessing of salvation. We could go ahead and name a whole bunch of lists. You know, when you get to heaven, you're going to get to see the original copy of the Word of God. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven, Psalm 119. That blessing of the Bible, that's going to stay with us. It's a blessing here, is it not? Okay, just want to make sure. I mean, there are going to be people screaming their heads off on snowbanks over in China right now, cheering somebody on with clothes way too tight, rolling down the hill on a piece of wood. And then after a while, a bunch of idiots are going to get in a football stadium and cheer on a bunch of guys with some of the ugliest football helmets I ever saw in my entire life. Going to cheer those people on. That kind of junk's going to go on. So if God's people want to say amen in church, I don't think there's going to be anything wrong with it. I don't want you to pull your shirt off, guys, and run around the building on it like it would in a football stadium. But let's just be careful about that. Let's just accept the blessings of God. They're good. They last. They continue. Oh, yeah, they do. So let's do this about the blessing today, that blessing from our God. Please recognize them. Verse number 3, as the dew of Hermon. You see that? Hermon is a mountain range there. It says, as the dew of Hermon. Look at the statement, please. As the dew of Hermon is the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Recognize that the blessings of God are something. They are sometimes they're very subtle. When I said you've already been blessed today, you have. You opened your eyes and you're alive. Yeah, that's right. Hey, you opened your eyes and you're alive in America. That's good. You opened your eyes, you swung your leg over the side of the bed, you got up, and if it was like me at my house, it was like somebody was in the front living room or in the kitchen having Rice Krispies, snap, crackle, and pop. As you get up and start to walk around, there was a blessing. I was able to get up this morning. The blessing, boy, they came to you. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, that's kind of like every day. Yeah, like every day the dew settles upon the mountains. Every day that dew is there. And it's only there for a period of time, and then it's not noticed anymore. But I hope we recognize the blessings of God. Did you recognize the blessings of the Lord in your life today? Today, as a part of your day today, did you take time to recognize the blessings of God, not only for the day that He has given you, but for the days He has given you up till now? Now, there's a lot of things that we miss. We don't recognize the blessings of God in our lives. You know why? Because we see what we don't have instead of what we do. We see what we've lost instead of what we've gained. We see what we don't get instead of what we do get. Hey, we see... We see what we do have instead of what we don't get. there's a flip to that, you know. Any child of God should be able to recognize many blessings in their life. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Let's not miss this now. These last few years, it seems like it's just kind of sucked the life out of people. And I don't mean literally. I mean, it's just people seem to have the mully grubs. We call them, my Okie people call it mully grubs, where they just walk around with their head down all the time. And they feel like, well, you know, but there's the stuff and then the thing with the thing. And then we don't get this and then we can't do that. And we don't have this. And all they talk about is what they don't have, what they don't get, what they did have. They hope they ever get back again. Nada, 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 and yada, 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 and on and on and on. Instead of recognizing the fact that just like the dew came down last night, I don't care if it hasn't rained in weeks. Hope it will. We need to pray for rain. I hope it will. But we realize there was still dew last night. May not have been much of it, but there was some there. And it came softly, but it was there. And just like the blessings of God, they were there. God was waiting for us this morning to bestow blessings upon us in our lives today. We got to go to church. We heard hymns sung. We had good music from our choir this morning. Lovely special this morning. We opened our Bibles and we have church. We get to have preaching. God was ready with blessings for us today. Recognize the blessings of God. See, if you read your Bible in Romans chapter 1, you'll find that when a society deteriorates, that chapter 1 in Romans from verse 14 to the end of the chapter, it shows you the devolution of man. It shows you how things go downhill in a society and why they do. Say, yeah, well, we got problems with the politics. No, it's not about politics. It starts with one statement. Neither were they thankful. You recognize blessings, you have to be thankful. You have to be. You have to stand back and say, my goodness, God is good. God has blessed us. And the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize the blessings of God in our life. A couple of months ago, I bought a new iPad. Mine got so old, the crank on the side fell off of it. You know, after a while, you can't download stuff because it doesn't recognize your thing anymore, your computer anymore, or whatever it is. So I bought a new one about 2 months ago. I can't find it. Unfortunately, I think it got stolen. I don't know how. I don't even know where. I mean, I don't leave that thing laying around. And I'm thinking, well, there goes several hundred dollars. Do I have to buy another one? And yesterday I looked and I looked and I looked and I could not find that thing. I don't know where it is. I am looking everywhere for it. And by the way, if you have my iPad and you don't give it back, God will kill you, drop you like third period French. Okay, let me just be clear about that. And so yesterday my day was ruined. My whole day was ruined, right? It was until I stopped and started thinking, well, I'll mention it at church and someone will give me the money. No, just kidding. No, that's fine. I'm going to steal someone else's. The truth is, something happened to it. I don't know. Maybe it got raptured and it was the only serious person. I don't know what that happened to the thing. I cannot find it. I have looked everywhere. Now, I'm terrible about finding things, and the reason for that is because I'm a man. Men do not find things well, especially if we're sitting in a recliner and your wife asks you to go find something. We're really bad about finding something then. We'll get up, we'll go look, and we'll come back and sit down and go, couldn't find it. And she'll walk in, open the cabinet, and go, it was right there. And I go, oh, no, you're never going to have to ask me to look for anything again. I'll just sit here in the recliner. So she looked, I looked, can't find the stupid thing. And it aggravated, made me so mad. And then I thought, because I looked, I came back to the office late yesterday, went through everything, and I can't find it. Went to the bed, couldn't find it. My office at the house, couldn't find it. Bedroom, look under the furniture, looked everywhere else. I'm thinking, Charlotte, my granddaughter, stole my lap. That's what happened. She's only a year and a half old, but bless her heart, the kid got it. Somebody, look in that diaper bag. And this aggravated me, made me so mad. And then my wife, bless her heart, you know, what do you think, honey? I don't want to talk about it. I'm just sitting there thinking, there goes several hundred bucks, and that means several hundred bucks to buy another one. And you know what? My whole day was ruined because one thing, we were down there helping out the family on some stuff, and one of the friends of the family was supposed to come and help us and got upset because he had to pay extra money for a brake job and couldn't do anything, had to go home. And I thought to myself, wait a minute. After a while, the Holy Spirit just kind of came along and said, what's the matter with you? Did you miss the blessing of the day before this thing came about? No, look at me. See, your blessings are not gone. You just forgot where they were. You're not recognizing the fact that God, folks, seriously, if the worst thing that happens to me is I can't find my iPad, if that's the worst on the top of the list, I'm okay. So are you. Some of you folks, honestly, if you lost your phone, we'd have to bring you in for counseling, give you shock treatments, everything else, because you could not function without that thing. The truth is, people, this thing like the subtlety of dew that falls upon the mountains, God says, there I've commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. He said, look at this. Notice this. Recognize that. Number two about blessings, acknowledge them. Acknowledge them. When was the last time you counted your blessings? You counted them. In other words, you see, yeah, all of them, Pastor? Yeah, all of them. Every delay in life is a blessing. Can't be, Pastor John. Oh, yeah, it is. I was preaching in Oregon on a youth thing up there on a Saturday afternoon outside of Medford. And the weather was January, and there was supposed to possibility of snow and all this kind of junk. And we were checking the weather and checking the everything else, and it looked like we were going to have some trouble with snow getting over a couple of mountain passes to get back here, because I was going to preach that, be done, jump in the car, take off and drive and get home late Saturday night to preach here for Sunday. And sure enough, yeah, it was snowing, and it came down, and I had chains. And everybody loves to put on chains on their tires. I mean, that's one of the blessings of life. And late at night, I get out in first pass. I didn't even get out of Medford, out of Talent, before I had to put chains on, 10 miles an hour, up over the mountain, get out, take the chains off, whoop, right next pass, and I mean, I was hoping to be home by 10, 11 o'clock at night. It was like 6 in the morning when I got home. I had so many passes that delayed us. One of those passes we went over, as we came around the corner, two semi-trucks had hit head-on with each other. And it looked like an airplane crash. There's burning wreckage. The police hadn't gotten there. Ambulances hadn't gotten there. And we missed that by just moments. And it was a horrible, bloody mess. That one poor truck driver, his cab just smashed in. You can see parts of his body sticking out of that thing. We missed that by minutes. One tire change. One set of chains, putting them on, taking them off. That's what it was, that delay. And as we waited, the ambulance just pulled up and the fire department's got there. As we pulled around the wreckage, I thought to myself, if I have to put chains on again, I'm not complaining about anything. Hello? Well, I don't understand why I have to lose something in my life. That doesn't make any sense to me, Pastor Johnson. Don't you understand there's loss before gain? That's the Christian principle. It doesn't mean that you have to lose to gain. It means loss is a part of gain. For in order for us to get something he wants for us, often he has to take something we have to give us what we need. Hey, acknowledge the blessings. Acknowledge them. Good, bad, bittersweet, high, low, all of them. Loss, delay, yeah, suffering, battles, struggles, the valleys, all of those they create, mountaintops, all the things that go with it. Acknowledge the fact that God has blessed you, God is blessing you, and God will bless you. See, I don't want us to get to be a gimme, gimme kind of Christian where we just, all we want is just give me blessings, give me blessings, give me blessings, give me blessings. That's not the point of it. The point is acknowledge what you have received as a Christian. God has blessed us mightily. There's still two of you left. Thank you. I said, God has blessed us. Mess with me, I'll go down there and sit and amen myself. Now, let's get with the program. The bottom line is he has blessed us mightily. He is blessing us mightily. He will bless us mightily. Acknowledge that. Acknowledge that the hand of our God, as long as I keep my knee bowed before my sovereign, as long as my heart is yielded to him, as long as I'm obedient to his will and his way and willing to accept whatever it is he brings to my life, I bow that knee. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You keep that attitude. You stay kneeled before the sovereign, and whatever he decides you need to have, you'll get it. We're going to have in our Bible study on Wednesday night here very shortly, as a matter of fact, Philippians chapter 4. But my God shall supply all your what, church? Need, not needs, need. According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's a singular thing. It means God knows what is your greatest need. And he will supply that. Now, one more time. Get you thinking up off the material and the financial for a moment. And think about this. He knows what your greatest need is. and he will provide that need. And he'll do it according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Acknowledge that. You mean, I'm supposed to say, I was blessed. I had a bowl of cereal this morning. Hey, you had teeth to eat it with. Even if you had to let it soak and gum it to death, you still had something to make it work, yes? You did. People, come on. The truth of the matter is, our lives, we are surrounded by these blessings of God. Yes, bitter and sweet. Yes, high and low. Yes, tough times and good ones. All of them come together. But for some reason, God in his sovereign ability looks at us and knows how to put the pieces of the puzzle of our lives together. And we acknowledge that. We acknowledge every blessing, no matter how big or how small. Do this with God's blessing. Here we go. Watch me. Here we go. Invest them. God did not bless you to bless you. That's the problem with this blab it and grab it Christianity. I'm going to show you how you can get blessed today. And I think to myself, well, I would hope we would want the Lord to bless us in our lives, but is that it? As someone has said, are you a conduit of his blessings or a reservoir? Do you just collect them and that's what you have? When you talk about blessings, do you just talk about what you got, what you receive, what you have, what you get, what kind of blessing it is in your life? Is it just about what you are, what you have, what you receive? God blesses us to be a blessing. That hymn in our hymn book, make me a blessing. Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. And it talks about make me a blessing. God, make me a blessing today. Oh, we're good about asking for blessings. We're good about seeing them. Hopefully we are. We're good about acknowledging them. How about investing those blessings? How about the fact that God has blessed you with something and you can be a blessing to someone else with what he's given you? Now you're talking real Christianity. On my desk, in a little holder on my desk, are two things. I should have brought them today. One of them was Isaac Russell when he was a little boy, drew a picture. We used to do in our school, we have a thing in our Christian school, we have a thing of what time did you go to bed last night? I just happened to ask one day for the fun of it. I couldn't believe how many kids were up at 11, 12 o'clock at night on a school night. So we set a time, what was it, 8:45 or something like that? You have to be in bed, 10 toes toward heaven, in bed, no electronic, in bed. And the kids were saying, I was in bed at 8:45, which of course, you know, they're lying. So I said, look, here you go. Bring me a note from your mom. Or your dad says, what time you went to bed last night. So they started bringing notes in. Isaac Russell was a little boy then. He brought a note in. And on the front of it was a picture. I should have brought it. It's on my desk. Probably by my iPad. Anyway, it'll just be sitting somewhere. You say it'll be the last place you look. You say that to me, I'm going to slap you. Of course it'll be the last place I look because that's where I found it. This little picture was this guy. Sad looking man. Hair sticking straight out. It's all done with pencil. One leg, two times bigger than the other leg. Scary look on his little face. Big old feet. I said, Isaac, who is that? He goes, that's you, Pastor. I said, that's me. I put it under plexiglass. What is that stuff? Laminated it. It's on my desk. I look at that every day going, that's me. Mm-hmm. Right next to it is a little bitty cross, little hand crocheted little cross. One of our bus ladies gave me, 20 years ago. She made that just for me. I put that, that's right next to that little picture that Isaac gave me when he was a kid. When that lady handed me that cross, you'd think she had given me a trip to the Holy Land. And I thanked her for it, and she said, well, I hope that you like it, Pastor. And then I realized, she wanted to be a blessing. What do you do with the blessings of God? We take the life and the health he has blessed us with, and then what do? We go live our life the way we want. That's not investing that blessing. No. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You're not supposed to take the life he gave you and just go do what you want with it. See, that life, that health, that strength, that life was meant to be given to us to invest in somebody else's life. See, people, whenever we receive a blessing, do we think of what can I do with this, or we think, who can I help with this? Blessings. That's when you go off the selfish side of Christianity and you get on the biblical side of Christianity. You invest them. What do you do with the blessings of God in your life. And lastly, this morning, you want to recognize them, you acknowledge them, you invest them. And then the last thing is you want to relive those blessings. Every now and then you just need to kind of push it all aside, sit down for a minute, and just relive the blessings of God in your life. See, too much goes by and too much water under the bridge and too many things happen to us in life. And we start just living in the present instead of living a little bit in the past. Now, I don't think you need to live all your life in your past, but do you ever have blessing days where you just stop and think, you know what, God, today all I want to do is just recount in my mind how good you have been to me. Hopefully salvation's on the top of the list. If it's not, we can fix that in just a moment. But that should be there. And then all the things, and then you start to recount all the goodness of God in your life and all the things that went along. When you look back at the life you had to this point, what do you see? Do you just see battles and valleys and trials and loss and all that? Is that all you see? Or do you see how God brought you out of the other side of that? Yeah, they came up the edge of the Red Sea, Egyptian army behind them, walls and mountains on either side of them, ocean in front of them, dark of the night, pursuing Egyptian army. It looks bad for the children of Israel. And God said, go forward. And as soon as they took one step toward the ocean, God parted that thing, dried out the ground, led them 3,000 to 5,000 abreast across a 17-mile rip of the hole in the ocean of the Red Sea and took them to the other side, got to the other side, and then God let the Egyptian army, stupid as all get out, go after them into the Red Sea. If you know a God big enough to part the ocean, don't mess with his people. Don't go over there. We're going to go get those guys. Okay, that's like D-U-M-B in capital letters with a lot of exclamation points after it. And when they went in, God put that ocean over the top of them, drowned that army out, and they stood on the other side now of an ocean, put back together a dead army delivered by God's blessing. And you don't think those children of Israel didn't relive that? They are still reliving it today. They still sing the Psalms about God's deliverance. Do you spend any time reliving his blessings? How good he's been? All that God has brought. Even when you look at those tough days in life, do you relive the blessing of his grace that carried you when sometimes the news just caused your knees to buckle and broke your heart? But grace was sufficient to get you to it and through it and beyond it. There he commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.